The sports park at the University of East Anglia is one of the most successful community sports centres in the UK, and further developments are just around the corner through the RFU, the Rugby Football Union's 5-year development plan for the university. Chris Gillam talks to Director of Sport Phil Steele.
So I wear two hats. There is the commercial operation of the sports park, which, as people may know, is a lottery funded facility, so therefore is a primarily community leisure facility. But I also then wear the hat of the Director of Sport for the university, which then has to argue with my other hat of getting time for student sport and the programming and all the things that are entailed with sport and physical activity program for campus.
Which forms the major part of your role, the first or the second?
I guess it depends on the day of the week and the time of the month. There are certain periods where I'm very focused on the sports park, and various periods of the year which are commercially our busiest periods, and then days of the week, depending on when there are some major programming things for the students. So Wednesday afternoons is university sport, and then again on the weekends our student sport teams play in the community leagues. So I can very easily fill 7 days a week if I'm not careful.
I'm sure you can, yeah. Is the sports park open? Is it in use every day of the week?
Yeah, absolutely. We close 3 days of the year. In fact, we close 4 days of the year now. We close Christmas Day, Boxing Day and New Year's Day. And for the last 4 years, we've had a single day closure where we do, you could call it a team building day, or we do a training day, yeah, with as many of the team as we can get in.
Yeah, so how big's your team?
260 plus people. But there's a lot of those may only do 1 or 2 hours a week. So if we looked at full-time equivalents, it's about 85, 90. So it's a big enough chunk of people.
It certainly is. And yeah, you have to manage all those people.
Well, I have a good team management team that take a lot of that responsibility from me.
Yeah, I see. OK. How many students do you cater for?
Around 21,000, including we have two forms of postgrad. There's a postgrad research and then there's postgrad taught. The research are paid, and they're doing their research along part-time work within the university. And then there are the postgrad taught one. They're normally 1 year, 2 year degrees.
Yeah.
It's a big chunk. And on top of that, 3,500 staff, which is the size of a small village.
Indeed.
And we do have a student and staff sports programme, which is unique to the higher education sector.
That's amazing. Amazing. I had no idea of the numbers. Yeah, 21,000.
Yeah, and in fairness, we're not one of the biggest universities around.
No, but UEA has a very fine reputation.
It has, and in the 5 years I've been here, I've been very cognizant of that and the efforts to raise the profile. And I think we've tried to do that within sport. Sport is becoming much more widely acknowledged as a key draw for students, not just those that play competitively, but those that want to just socialise through sport. And our biggest accolade to date was last year winning the National Award for Participation Programme across all universities.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Which is, at the time of my Assistant Director for Student Sport, Rachel Tomes, retiring, was a phenomenal finish for her career. Very proud. You know, I can honestly say I love my job. You know, I live and breathe sport in my own life, you know, my personal life. To be doing it on a daytime basis is phenomenal.
You're a football man, though, aren't you, really?
I am a round ball man.
Yes.
Or I was. I have played a bit of rugby. I think I was the tallest scrum half the club had ever known, and that was only because I didn't want to get in the scrum. And I played a lot of racket sports as well. They were probably after football my second sport.
I see. Yeah. So moving on to the rugby, it was, well as everything else that you've just described, you've got the relocation of Norwich Rugby Club to the university to deal with. How do you think this is going to enhance UEA's reputation for sport?
First of all, to say it's a phenomenal project. When I first met Steve and he was looking at a different area of campus that maybe we would sell, it became abundantly clear very quickly that to actually work together on the sports pitch site. I've looked around at lots of other universities, and the one that stands out by far is Swansea, where Ospreys, Swansea City Football Club and the university share sports science, training and outdoor pitch facilities. We're not quite at that level, but, you know, conversations with the Rugby Football Union and Norwich City Football Club might mean we can begin to build a similar kind of tripartite approach, but alongside all the other outdoor sports. We've got some quite different sports down there. There's baseball and softball, ultimate frisbee, which is just a wacky student sport. But I think from a perspective of what will it do to enhance our reputation, probably twofold. Clearly a facility improvement. The plans, as we have planning permission for a new artificial rugby and football compliant pitch. But for Norfolk, it'll be the only one. So, and then pavilion support. Nobody that plays down there doesn't come away rather bemused with the quality of our current changing stock.
Yeah.
So to put a new pavilion in place and have all of the ancillary facilities that the club need will be fantastic. And then it's more about the ability to generate a much more comprehensive but a higher performing outdoor sport programme. So we introduced scholarships this year. First time ever the university has had money available for sports scholarships. We have a rugby player in amongst that, an ex-Leicester Tigers Academy player. So really pleased, you know, that this sort of thing is beginning to happen. But I think, more importantly, recently we've had the RFU in, wanting to support the university with a five-year development plan. And again, I think we've supported participation rugby through part-time paid positions from the RFU over the last 5 years. And Richard Morelli from the RFU, who's their development officer for the region, has recognised that UEA is a sleeping giant. We know that Crusaders have some concerns about project.
They're nervous about the project.
Yeah, but we were very clear in the planning application paperwork that we had to put a sport development plan in. We were very clear and I guess even more proactive because of knowing the reticence, what we would do with rugby and how we would safeguard their patch. With my role as director of sport, I can't be seen to be destroying a club in the community.
No, I don't think any of us want that.
No, but I think that I've tried to use that line to give the club some reassurance that, you know, we're more than aware that the impact could be negative, but we've set a plan in place that actually will be complementary.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've already agreed with them that when we have specialist coaches turning up here to run particular sessions on aspects of the game, we will invite them to come along.
The other perhaps even more favourable opportunity is using the artificial pitch at inclement times of the year.
Indeed. So, I think we've also made an offer to drain their ground.
There is some funding that will go back into rugby. I think the decision for planning consent was that council would determine where the money goes, but Crusaders is clearly on the list. The university has a phenomenal reputation for environmental and ecology work. So we were very, very clear that this would impose on a green infrastructure. And it was never part of the plan to end up with anything that would be seen as a negative impact. But where we'd originally looked at having a lot of the building and construction work closer to Coney Lane Road, it became very quickly clear to us that we needed to have things like the pavilion more centrally located. Otherwise, we'd have a lot of the younger participants potentially having to walk up to a kilometre to get to the pitches, and that just was, it's not practical. So yes, there were lots of deliberations because we want to make sure that the people will see it as an improved community asset. And I genuinely think it will be. And we all know that in 5 to 10 years that a lot of this will have blown over, but we have to deal with the emotions and reassure people that some of the potential concerns that may have been blown up out of proportion during the planning
process,
are not as bad as everybody's been potentially.
And I think that also in some quarters, the idea of rugby sometimes conjures up all sorts of things in certain people's minds.
I mean, I would be more worried about football's reputation these days. Well, I firmly believe that the venue, when you then would look at what it compares to with the building we're in now, the sports park, which is an iconic facility. It was the first of its kind in the UK to be built, funnily enough, the same year that Bath got their university facility. We were designed as a community building. Bath was designed as a performance centre. I know which one's more successful. But to be able to add an outdoor facility with a similar hub building, I think is going to have far, far stretching positive outcomes into the community. We already know, we've got a meeting in 2 weeks' time with four community cricket clubs. So some of the work on the other sports on the site we're progressing with, even though we're not as progressed as we would have hoped by now with the full development.
Yeah.
We know that we have a very good baseball and softball team within the university. They play well and compete well in the student competitions across the year. But the Norwich League plays at Swaffham. So as part of our development, we are adding in a purpose-built diamond. And that league has already said immediately that's available, they will move back into the city. There are some great opportunities for other sports. I played a bit of softball when I lived in the Middle East for a while through work. It's a super sport to play. It's a co-ed game, so male and female together. It's a lot of fun. And if we can be building use of those other activities, I can't see why it won't be a huge success.
Phil Steele, Director of Sport at the UEA, was speaking to Chris Gillam.